Blog Talk Radio.
It's the mystery of iniquity. That is the misery of iniquity. That is the history of iniquity. Oh, and it all falls down.
Handle the truth in a courtroom alive. Purges the jurors, witnesses, spies. Crooked lawyers, false indictments, publicized. It's entertainment, the arraignments, the subpoenas. High profile gladiators in bloodthirsty arenas. Enter the dragon, black robe, crooked balance. Souls bought and sold and paroled for 30 talents. Court reporter, catch the circus on a paper. File it in the system, not acknowledged by the maker. Swearing by the Bible, blatantly blasphemous. Publicly perpetrating that in God we trust. Cross-examined by a master manipulator, the faster, intimidator, receiving the judge's favor, deceiving sabers, doing injury to their neighbors, for status, gratis, apparatus, and legal waivers. See the bailiff, representing security, holding the word of God, soliciting perjury, the prosecution, political prostitution, the more money you pay, the further away solution, legal actors, Babylon's benefactors, masquerading as the agency for the clients, hypocritical giants, morally non-compliant, orally armed to do bodily harm, polluted, recruited, and suited, judicial charm, and the defense, is it making any sense? Faking the confidence of escaping the consequence that a defendant is dependent on the system, totally void of judgment, purposely made to twist them, emotional victim, blackmailed by the henchmen, framed by intentions, inventions whereby they lynch men. Into the false witness, slandering the accused, planting the seed, openly showing he's being used, to discredit, edit, headed for the alleged, smearing the individual, fearing the unsuspected, expert witness, the paid authority, made a priority to deceive the majority of disinterested peers, dodging duty for years, hating the process, waiting to return to their careers. Do we expect a system made for the elect to possibly judge correct, properly serve and protect, materially corrupt, spiritually amok, oblivious to the cause, prosperously bankrupt, blindly to the blind, guilty never defined, filthy as swine, a generation pure in its own mind? Legal extortion, blown out of proportion, in vain deceit, the truth is obsolete. Only two positions, victimizer or victim, both end up in destruction, trusting this crooked system. Mafia with diplomas, keeping us in a coma, trying to own a piece of the American corona. The revolving door, insanity every floor, skyscraping, paper chasing, what are we working for? Empty traditions, reaching social positions, teaching ambition to support the family superstition. When the son of perdition is commander-in-chief, the standard is feet. Brethren, can we candidly speak? Woe to the men, trusting in the chariots, them leaning on horses, they run their intellectual sources, counterfeit wisdom, creating the illusion of freedom. Confusion consumes them. Every word they speak is entangles them. Outwardly white, internally they absent the light, them trapped in the night, and bondage to the cane of the night, under the curse. Evil men waxing more worse, facts in the first. Angelic being cast to the earth, it's time for rebirth. Burning up the branch and the root, the empty pursuits of every tree bearing the wrong fruit. Turn him ill, let him who stole no longer steal. Oh Israel, surrender for Jehovah is real. How long will you sleep, troubled by the thoughts that you keep, the idols you heap, causing the destruction you reap. Judgment is come, find it and return to the one. Abandon the flesh, self-interest, broadway to death, pride and the greed, hide and subdivide in the seed. The knowledge of good and evil is what caused us to lie, caused us to die. Let your emotions be crucified. Renounce all your thoughts. Repent and let your mind be retaught. You'll find what you sought was based on a deception you bought, a perception of naught where the majority remains caught. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. It's the mystery of iniquity. That is the history of iniquity. That is the misery of iniquity. Oh, and it all falls down. I'm telling you all, it all falls down.
Thank you. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine leader, teacher, and guide, and reminder in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. And it is such a distinct honor to have this new programming on and to welcome again our dear brother, and he's my Thursday night co-host, but he has taken up the reins to host our Sunday show, and he has been a tremendous help to me in such a short time of our friendship, and he came going full speed ahead, and he has not stopped. So without further ado, there's no need to introduce him. I just want to present and welcome Brother Reginald Wynn to the hosting family of Nation Building Movement. So, assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald, and congratulations on your new show.
Alaikum salam, and all praises be to Allah for allowing me to be a part of his introducing our people to the truth of Master Farah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to start off by saying that Rahman Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, that great Samaritan in Mahdi, whom praises are eternally due. I further thank Allah and the person of Master Farah Muhammad for searching through the wilderness of North America and finding one to lead, teach, and guide the black man and woman back to the straight path of righteousness. That man is none other than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ. And I further thank Allah for permitting his servant, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to place in his seat during his absence the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine warner, divine guide, and divine master teacher. It is in their righteous and holy names that I greet everyone with the greeting words of peace. As-salam wa alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam. Okay. I want to go ahead and also I really want to thank the panel for joining me in this debut show, because I'm sure that they all have extra knowledge to add, because what we're doing with the theology in the educational paradigm is mostly coming from Study Guide 21, which we want to try to emphasize and revisit. And I want to first thank Sister Queen Aziza again for allowing me to have this opportunity. I want to thank beloved Sister Yatour McDaniel for coming on and being a part of this, because we want to try to get youth involved in this as much as possible, because it is about the youth, because they are our future and they are the ones that will lead the way. I also want to thank Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad for coming and joining to add his wealth of knowledge and wisdom on theology and also on the educational paradigm study guide number 21. And I also would like to thank even further from the bottom of my heart the Vice President, Brother Kareem Muhammad, for coming and joining me on my debut show as well. And he definitely would also add a wealth of knowledge, wisdom, and he'll be able to help us understand where we need to shift our focus to as far as it pertains to theology and education. And I thank all you, and once again, I say it as I greeted you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Okay, I guess first I guess we'll start with the sister. We're going to be polite, and of course the sister is always first in our life, and we want to elevate her. So we'll introduce Sister Yatour out of Tampa, Florida first, and we'll have that sister go ahead and introduce herself to the listening audience. And from there, we'll go ahead, and right after she finishes, Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad, and last but not least, we'll have Brother Kareem Muhammad make his introduction. And thank you, and you can go ahead on now. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks, Allah. First and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad. And I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and that the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder leader today amongst us. I'd like to greet everyone who's on the call and the greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. All praise to Allah. Again, I'm Sissy Gutierrez from Tampa, Florida. I'm 21. I'm the host right now of Young Gifted and Black on Saturdays. I've been in the nation for, I want to say I've been registered for 3 years, but I've been working the mission for a year. Man, I love being in the Nation of Islam. This is my life. I sleep, eat, breathe it. I'm working on doing for self, working on, you know, getting farmland, and, you know, I'm young, but I have big goals, visions that I'm working towards. And again, I'd like to thank you, Brother Reginald, for allowing me to be on the show with you tonight. You know, I pray that I can offer something. You know, I don't know everything, but I pray that Allah uses me to, you know, express what knowledge I do have. So all praises be to Allah, and thank you for having me.
All praises be to Allah. Thank you, sister. Okay. Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. And thank you, Sister Yatira, for that bold statement and that profound statement that you just made. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Father Muhammad, the great Mahdi, the self-guided one, who came to us and raised up one amongst us, the living and exalted Christ, that great preacher, freedom, justice, and equality, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I further bear witness that the one that is in our midst today, whom I would know nothing about the first two if it were not for him, the walking, talking, and breathing Jesus in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I want to greet the listeners and the paneling staff and a host with the universal greetings of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Well, I think that most of the listening audience know who I am by now, but my sole purpose is the resurrection of the 40 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ. We are taught that that is our sole purpose, is that particular job and instruction given to us by the Mahdi, Master Father Muhammad, when he gave us the lessons. So that is my sole duty, you know, to be available for that specific purpose, to give my insight in whatever subject matter that is available or given to us by the particular host on the radio show and that has invited us to the panels. So that is my sole purpose. And inshallah, I will, by Allah's grace and permission, hopefully give some insight into this subject matter tonight that will hopefully motivate and inspire someone to want to learn more, and if not, join along with us in this struggle to resurrect our people. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Now I'd like for Brother Kareem Muhammad to go ahead and introduce himself.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder, he who wears the mantle or carries the mantle of Masi or Messiah today, I greet you all in the listening audience, the panel, Queen Aziza, Brother Reginald, with the greeting words of peace and paradise, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Sir.
I am simply Brother Kareem, a servant of Allah who has been blessed by Allah through Queen Aziza to be able to serve in capacity as a host of Conscious Black Nation on Monday nights. I'm just here to help in any capacity, to help my brother, to help the people, simply to do the will of Allah. You know, that's what we're here for, bottom line. I don't need to go off into no long, drawn-out thing. That's what we're here for. I'm ready to get to it. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam, sir. Thank you. Thank you, and thank you again. Okay, at this time, we're going to try to have an informal structure to the show. The first hour will be pretty much dedicated to presenting the information. But at any given time, we will divert from the structure of the show. And if there is anybody in the listening audience that has a question, has a comment, please give us a call and hit 1 to raise your hand so Sister Aziza Muhammad, she will recognize you and she will alert me, or, you know, just go ahead and get your call, question, or comment in. Also, you can leave your comment or question in the chat room on the website, or you can go to her inbox, her inbox or chat area, and ask the question or make the comment there. At the hour mark, we're going to have an interlude. Sister Queen Aziza we're going to be trying to promote for the younger and older listening audience. We're going to try to promote an artist that is speaking good spiritual food, speaking knowledge, wisdom, and things to help permeate our ears so that we can listen to music without the lyrics of, you know, that's not really, you know, not really an advantage for our spiritual evolution. So we're going to do that at the halfway mark of this show, and then after that, we'll go ahead and we'll open it up for, you know, the panel to continue to go in on this topic. And of course, we're going to be coming. Most of the information is coming from Study Guide 21. So if anybody has their study guide on them and you have some questions about that, that is why the panel is here, because the panel, they are very familiar with Study Guide 21. Okay, and Sister Queen Aziza, would you like to add something to the introduction? Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I had to take my phone off of mute. I'm sorry. Well, no, I don't want to add anything. I just want everybody to know that Brother Reginald is going to be the regular host on Sunday, and so please show him the same love and respect that you've shown us in the past. And I am here to take your questions in the chat room. My Yahoo is up and my Google is up, so I have all the chat rooms open to accommodate any questions that you may have. And I'm right here, and we're going to have a song by one of our Nation of Islam hip-hop artists at the break. So we believe in supporting our own. And that's it, Brother Reginald.
Okay, thank you so much, Sister Queen Aziza. All right, the first thing we want to do is we want to go ahead and we want to define and explain the title, the words within the headliner of this show that we will be partaking in every Sunday evening. The headliner is Theology and the Educational Paradigm. Theology and the Educational Paradigm. Now, why is this so important? First, let's deal with the conjunction and. When you deal with the conjunction and, that which precedes it and that which is it, that comes after it, those two subjects, topics, nouns, or whatever it may be, the only way that statement can prove to be true is both of them have to be true. You can't just have theology without education, and you can't just have education without theology. And this is the main reason why I decided to take on this topic, because I feel
in my humble opinion, that we have to include theology, which is the study of the nature of God and the relationship of the human and the divine. And who else better to go be educated by or educated of than the Most High, Almighty God, Allah? That theology is been taken from our children, from our babies, and what they do is they have all taken it out of school, but yet they ask our children to pledge allegiance to a flag when all of our allegiance should be pledged to Almighty God, the Most High. Now, theology is simply defined, I'm going to define it again, as the study of nature of God and the relationship between the human and God. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, we're going to go straight to the definition of education. Education is the learning that takes place in schools or school-like environments, formal education, or in the world at large, the transmission of the values and accumulated knowledge of a society. And we must understand that, you know, sometimes we call ourselves pupils, but we all should be attiring to be students, because there's a distinct difference between a pupil and a student. See, the pupil and a student are two words in the English language that are used, usually considered interchangeable, but actually they are not. There's indeed some difference between the two when it comes to their condition. A pupil is more considered a young person who is under the direct supervision of a teacher and is learning lessons in a given subject. The teacher who directly supervises a pupil can be from a school. It is interesting to note also that the teacher can also be a private tutor. Now, just stop right there as tutor, because I want to go at this particular point to a blog that I wrote about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was written out of the concern for our youth and the things that our youth are going through and experiencing here in our society, and why our society has and is failing the youth, and what we need to do to get the youth back on the right track. One moment, please. All righty. And I'm going to come from this. This is what I wrote. It is time to take responsibility for your disrespect of womanhood, disrespect of self, degeneracy, and aggressive violent behavior and coldness for human life. It is time for us, the older adults, the parents, the clergy, the politicians, and teachers, to atone for our failure and our role in your unfortunate demise and degeneracy. We have failed you in a miserable and catastrophic way. We have not prepared or trained you in the way a generation should evolve into the oneness of God, community, and self-independence. We have misled you in music that has negatively permeated your ears with the exploitation of women, a false sense of acquiring materials, and idolization of men and women who appear to be role models. We have failed to carry the torch that our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents carried from generation to generation. We have not given you more doctors, lawyers, politicians, community leaders, and most of all, spiritual leaders as role models, servants, leaders, and mentors. We as men have failed to fill the education system with our presence. We have chosen the corporate world instead of showing our presence in the so-called schools of learning. It would not be correct to downplay the importance of being in the dynamic structure of corporations. So don't get me wrong, but we still can be diversified and at least volunteer our time to tutor and mentor our children. We have deceived you with the way children, women, and parents should be treated. So let me apologize. Now, the purpose of that was because it is also troubling to me that we are leaving it up to the Caucasian school system or the way of their school system to train our children in the way that they should go. And the first thing that we should let our children know is the truth about God, because without the truth about God and the information that is needed to know about God, then he's not at the center, then who else will you lean towards? And as a result of our children not having that root in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self and the knowledge of our history, culture, and other great things of our civilization, that has caused a complete rift with our children towards our parents, towards their parents, and towards the people that are in authority over our children. And I want to quote from the study guide 21 that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and this is very, very, very profound. He says, and I quote, "At the root of every civilization is a knowledge inherent in which is an idea that gives energy and direction to that knowledge. But if the idea at the root of that knowledge and civilization is finite, then the world that comes as a result of that knowledge is also finite. It has an end." So we see here that the minister is trying to tell us that the knowledge that we must give our children is very important. It is going to be our future doctors, our future lawyers, our future scientists, because we are in the process, as I speak, we are in the process to end poverty and want. We have, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has revisited the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic program in the form of the economic blueprint. And we were asked to just make sure that we donate nickels and dimes towards this blueprint. 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, $2.80 a month. $1.40 a month. So this is painless. This is a painless process. And by the end of the year, if the amount of people that we have in the workforce do this, we can end poverty and want, and we can take our children out of that type of school system and enter them into our school system. There has not been a school system to topple the school system that Sister Clara Muhammad started and under the guidance and the leadership of her husband, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that is the University School of Islam, Muhammad School of Islam. That school produced more geniuses, more knowledgeable students than any public school system, charter school system, or private school system could ever produce. So coming right up to that, let me go ahead and give you from the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan some very startling statistics that were given to us in his lecture entitled "The Educational Paradigm," and this is also contained in Study Guide 21. Sadly, the black statistic of 2009, and which means because the situation hasn't gotten any better, these numbers that I'm giving you now are from 2009, so they are much worse today than they were back then. He said, only 12% of black high school seniors are proficient readers, while 54% have below basic reading skills. It is estimated that 40 to 44% of blacks, almost half of us, are functionally illiterate. Black children are almost three times more likely than white children to be labeled mentally retarded. Black students are 2.5 times more likely to be placed in remedial or low-track classes. Even when black students show potential that is equal to or above that of white, they are 40% less likely to be placed in advanced or accelerated classes. Two-thirds of the so-called minorities in public schools fail to reach basic levels of national tests, and there continues to be marked disparities between black and white students in the national SAT score. 32% of all suspended students are black, and black students are twice as likely as whites to be suspended and or expelled. The high school dropout rate in some inner city communities approaches 50%, and only 20% of blacks who do finish high school go to college, while 37% of whites go to college. College-educated blacks are four times more likely than whites to experience unemployment. Black women account for nearly all of the gains made in black enrollment in higher education since the mid-1980s, and that number has increased. Women make up 60% of enrollment at black colleges and unenrolled. Where will these women find appropriate mates among our men, is the question he asked. Babies with poorly educated mothers are more likely to die in the first year of life or have chronic health problems growing up. Black people are dramatically underrepresented in many professions, 32% of lawyers, 3% of doctors, and less than 1% of architects. Black males have both the lowest average level of education attainment and the highest level, nearly 50% of workers with more education than the job requires. So it doesn't make any difference, he says, what level of education we attain. The jobs that we have don't even require the education that we have. White males with a high school diploma are just as likely to have a job and tend to earn just as much as black males with degrees. Light-skinned blacks have a 50% better chance of getting a job than dark-skinned blacks. And with the statistics like this, he says, if I were a doctor and America was the patient, we could say that America has flatlined. Those kinds of statistics produce an educational challenge. That is why we chose the subject, the educational challenge, a new educational paradigm for the 21st century. This is telling us the type of thing that we are and must be engaged in, which is to stimulate or challenge our intellect over the problem that is found in education. We are living in a world and in a civilization that was given by God a certain time to exercise itself. But it was also prophesied that the civilization or world in which we live would come to an end. This means that the knowledge that guides this civilization would reach a point where it no longer would be effective in solving the problems presented at this time. So I'm going to take a second at this point to, before I go over the colonialism that the public school system has placed our children and even their children and poor white children up under. And I want to go into the history and the three main points of the colonialism that these schools have produced. But before I do that, I would like anyone on the panel to go ahead and touch on what I've said so far or add something to it so that we can have balance. It can come from anybody. But at this point, I would like for the panel to key in and give their opinion or add something to what was said as to the problems that we are facing with our youth as it relates to theology and education. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. As-salamu alaykum there. Brother Reggie, I'd like to weigh in on that just for a second, just to add to something that was said. We know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that knowledge is the torchlight of civilization. Because they have taken out God, who is the source and author of all knowledge, from the schools, then the schools are failing. This is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us. He teaches us that because of that particular or specific reason, that God has been taken out of the schools as the author and source of all knowledge, that the knowledge has started to crumble or fail. And just like you said, that this world was given a specific time or exercise that specific knowledge. But because they have taken out God from that knowledge or that specific time, then that has caused the civilization to start to decline. It has caused it to lose its effectiveness to solve the problems that are presented by the time. And this was said to by him in the study guide 21. So I just wanted to add that simply because they have taken God out of the schools and separated that, denoting the fact that it is not necessary for God to be in the schools when all education and sources of education come from God himself. So without that, then the children lose their inspiration and motivation to want to learn because the knowledge that has been given to them is not effective in presenting itself to solve the problems of particular specific people. And I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to thank you for sharing what you shared from Study Guide 21. I also want to thank Student Minister Andre for what he's just shared with us because that is vital. And just going back to the title, Theology in the Educational Paradigm. And as you defined theology earlier, I mean, very simply, theology is the study of God and God's relation to the world. So that being the case, with all, for example, the statistics that you shared, which, of course, as you yourself mentioned, have increased since that time, since the study guide was written, those statistics have increased. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that, or teaches us, not taught because it's not past tense, he teaches us in its simplest form that heaven is wisdom, knowledge, understanding, freedom, justice, and equality, and hell is ignorance. So just by the statistics that you've given, it shows that, yes, we're living in hell, plain and simple. But getting back to the title, I just wanted to share this to add to what has already been given. Theology in the Educational Paradigm. Since theology means God or the study of God and God's relation to the world, and the word education at its root comes from the Latin word educere, or to educe, which means to draw out of, then any system, any way of teaching or training that does not draw the person of God from the human being is useless. So I'm just glad to be a part of this, so hopefully we can share and help draw that God out of each and every one of us. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you so much for that answer in that statement, Brother Kareem. That was very much needed. And once again, also, if I didn't say thank you, Brother Andre, thank you for that input as well. And now, Sister Yatura, if you could just add on your going on and what you, what the education, excuse me, theology and the educational paradigm mean in your opinion.
Well, my brothers have spoken well. I mean, there's not much for me to add on just the limited knowledge that I have, but, you know, I definitely, you know, I see the issues, and I see this is something that's really, really important. And a month or so ago, I just remember seeing something in the paper about, you know, a young student who, you know, they were like elementary, I believe, and they didn't want to pledge allegiance to the flag. And the teacher, you know, the teacher was, you know, she got really irate and she was really forceful and was yelling at the child or, you know, trying to force them to you know, pledge his or her allegiance to the flag. And, I mean, she even said some things to the child about, you know, him or her not wanting to participate. And it's just so, you know, it's just so important for these type of things to be discussed. And, you know, it's really relevant in today's time. And then just the numbers and the statistics that you were giving us, you know, all those things are just so important. And you mentioned, I think you said, I'm not sure of the exact number that you gave, but the percentage of the women, you know, who's the percentage is high on her hat, and you presented the question, well, what is she to do, you know, as far as mate, you know, as far as finding a mate when she's, you know, so high up, and you know, her counterpart isn't, you know, quite up to par. So, you know, these are just really, really relevant and important topics that, you know, I'm interested for us to continue and delve into.
Okay. Thank you very much, Assalamualaikum, for that wonderful answer. And of course, Sister Yator, one of the important reasons for me inviting you on the panel and the other young brother, I can't remember his name. He's going to be calling us back shortly to come on the panel as well, is because we really would like to know what the youth, or not the youth, or the younger adults and are witnessing from our children, and how they feel and what they think that we as the older generation, how we can still be helpful and productive and return back to being mentors and tutors and protectors of our children, because it's a major problem with our children. As I mentioned last night on the show, there seems to be an increasing number. It don't seem to be it here. I just got to call it like it is. The Caucasian is angry because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or the Satan, or whomever we may call him, is angry because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has pretty much taken off all of his garments and exposed Satan completely. So Satan is angrier than ever. He is so angry that he knows he cannot even touch the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He cannot touch the righteous followers of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So what does our society, where our people who are in the society and living up the society, this wicked system of things that only had a 6,000-year rule, in which Satan has done a magnificent job at ruling, but not ruling it with righteousness. So what does he do now? And the Bible says he will come after our seed and not us. Who are our seed? It is all of these babies that we're seeing constantly on social networks that's saying, please help my sister. Her child ran away, or her child is missing, or she hasn't heard from her child. See, these things are taking us all the way back to the Atlanta child murders. I know a lot of us are familiar, and if you're in the younger crowd, during back in the times when we were growing up, I want to say it was the 80s or the 80s or the late 70s. I want to say it was the 80s, but in Atlanta, it was a child being missing every day, every week, until they got up to like 9 or 10 children being missing. But they went ahead and threw the whole thing on this one black man. But now all of a sudden, that process has grown to today, and our children are being reported missing or running away. Now, I question the runaway classification because I look at these photos, these images, and these children are happy. They're well-groomed. They look educated. They look like they respect authority. They don't look like quote-unquote, and I'm not calling you out if you consider yourself a thug, because this show is going to bring the thug out of you and turn you into a young man or a young woman or somebody, a child of God, because you are not a thug, and we want to make sure that that's clarified. Because we have been, that's just another word or another label they put on us as mockery, along with the N-word, the color word, and all kind of other words that they put on us. But they have come now to the position that they think it's fine, it's okay, and we will be lured to sleep and not recognize that they are killing our babies, they are kidnapping our babies, and they are stealing our babies. Now, where are they taking our babies? What is going on? What's happening? Well, we don't know. You know why we don't know? Because we are so divided as a people that we won't come together unless one person is done wrong or shot, like the Trayvon Martin case, then we'll go and we'll talk about revolution. And most of the times we talk about physical revolution, which to me is not wise at all. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that, you know, that's just plain out stupid to think that we have the capacity to fight Satan and his machines of war. So what we need is not a physical revolution. And because whenever you try to get a physical revolt going, that dies. Just like after the case was over, we had angry black people for about 3 or 4 days. But after that, back to business as usual, back to sport and play, back to idolizing entertainers, back to, you know, oh, that was her son. It had never happened to my child. Oh, that was her son that got brutalized by the police. It had never happened to my child. Oh, that was her son that got arrested in school because they got him on Ritalin, and this Ritalin that they have him on has them acting way out of character because they want to slow his mind down and take away his creative force because he is not adapting to what he's being taught. Our children are not believing the myth of Christopher Columbus discovered America. They are not believing the myths that are in that some organizations of faith teach. You know, they not believing in the preachers. They not believing in the ministers and the imams and the bishops. They not believing in that anymore because they wasn't born into the world to accept that type of knowledge. Our children are born into the world today with the knowledge to overthrow Satan's government. So they are not going to sit back and submit to the things that we submitted to, which means we have to some kind of way reconnect with our children because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioned in one of his lectures, I believe it was the clergy breakfast that he spoke at, he told them quite naturally, and he was frank. He said, you keep teaching that mess that you're teaching, these children are going to rise up and kill you outright for teaching that falsehood. So this is a different kind of group. These are warriors, Generation X's. They were the responsible for, you know, carrying the last phase of the drug selling, carrying the last phase of being a thug, just totally out of control, carrying the last phase of gang activity. That's why they call them Generation X. They was this unknown generation, and in the process, they didn't like the first phase of at least the drug dealers. I want to call them illegal pharmacists. At least they invested their money in some kind of way. Either it was a car wash, it was, you know, and go get a house, go do this, go do that. But then that Generation X came along, and it was just all about getting high. It was all about disrespecting authority. It was all about no respect for mom, no respect for grandma, no respect for the old lady down the street, no respect for the fellow man, no respect for even trying to learn about who God was. And all of this meant that there became a complete generation gap between the previous generation before them and now the generation that is coming up now. So we have got to close this gap. We have to close this gap, and the first thing we have to close it by is by reintroducing our children to the one God, not the many gods, not the idols, not all of that, because I'm not saying they're not going to be interested in entertainment, interested in sports, interested in play, but God has to be drilled in their head first and foremost, regardless of persuasion of faith you put your children in. And secondly, once we get that part, then we can start educating them as best as we know how. Now, not all of us are qualified to educate our own child to the point of where he's highly expertise at science, mathematics, quantum, engineering, computer programming, pharmacy, or algebra, or reading, writing, or all of those different disciplines. Some of us don't have that expertise to do that. But the problem is we don't have enough platforms because we will not unify enough platforms where we can point the child in the direction that they should go to get this information. Now, Almighty God, Allah has blessed each and every one of us with technology. And the technology of today is the internet. Now, if he has blessed us with the technology of the internet, there are so many educational applications that our children can be using. And if you guard your children and you tell your children, no, you will not play that game on the computer today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to point you to this mathematics tutor that's going to be on at 5 o'clock. I'm going to point you towards this science tutor that's gonna that has his own website, and he can build you up. So when you go to school tomorrow, you won't have to be so angry and not knowing what the heck the teacher's talking about. Because I taught in the school system when I was living in Tampa, Florida. I taught at Mount Pleasant Charter School. I was that was in the heart of West Tampa, the heart of the oldest projects in Tampa. And at that charter school, these were the worst of the worst children. They were kicked out of public school because they could not get along with the authority in that school system. But when I entered the school, it had an F to D minus average, and which means that if it kept that average going, they were going to close this charter school down because it wasn't showing any respect. Well, fortunately, God, he allowed me to be hired by that school, in which I was the reading and mathematics coach. And during that time, I came up with a curriculum, my own style of reaching our children, in which I used Islam. They didn't know I was using Islam at Mount Pleasant Church Charter School. They didn't know it. I knew it because I had been in the lessons for at least 10 years by then, and I had been understanding the guidance and the principles of how important education, theology and education is. And so I used a different method. I attracted them. I was the magnet to them. And the number one thing that they respected more than anything was the love that they saw coming from a male to a student. I didn't treat them like little children. I didn't treat them like they was bad. Sure, we had some that was on Ritalin. Sure, we had some that had, quote-unquote, ADHD problems. But that was secondary, and I understood the eugenics portion of all of that. And if anybody don't know what eugenics is a form or method of depopulating first the black nation and then the poor white nation and then everybody else after that. But definitely first the black nation, in particular the black male, so he cannot reproduce. That's why they go ahead and give you this Ritalin, give you this Prozac to put babies on. I mean babies. Some of these things they give to horses as tranquilizers, and they have our children on it, and our children walk around like zombies. So when they walk around like zombies, then they tell them, okay, your kid, he needs to be in a slow class. He's not keeping up with the other one. Well, no, if you're talking about Ellen DeGeneres talk show versus talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad 57 weeks of lectures on the time and what must be done, something that really attracts him, of course we're not going to be interested in school. And we're going to be just plain old pupils. And you can't be a pupil forever. At some point, you have to graduate into being a student. And a student teaches himself. And that's why a student should also be a teacher, because when you study for a test, whether you know it or not, you are a teacher because you're teaching yourself from the information that you have received either from or out of a book or now digitally on a computer. We don't even have to use books anymore. All of the access is right there on the internet. All you have to do is go to Google, Bing, or any search engine and type in what you're looking at. There are over 800 million databases with good information, good knowledge, not just for children but for all ages. But the best site you can take them to is the site that gives them the right knowledge, and that's the knowledge that is coming from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which we definitely need to point our children in a direction of. And if you don't want to point them in that direction, if that man scares you and you're on the listening audience and you're of a different faith, then you need to point them in a direction of learning about God and have them research for themselves. Don't believe what anybody else tells you. That's not worth it anymore. You don't have to believe and listen to what anybody else says. You can listen, but research it. Don't just settle for it. Research it. That's called educating yourself. educating yourself. And when you educate yourself, then you come under the assumption or you come under the conclusion, you know what? I know what my purpose is in life. I know what my mission is in life. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, once we find out who we are, and what our mission is in life, he said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, when you find out who you are and what your mission is in your role to the people, he said, you are not going to be able to contain yourself. And that's a fact. And that's how we want our children to feel. We got children now that's going to college at 12 years old and graduating at 14. We got children that are so advanced, but we don't hear about those children too often. If it wasn't for the groups on Facebook or the groups on all the social networks that kind of put that information out in spurts, man, we would be a hopeless people thinking that we have no future. Well, the world is not going to end tomorrow. The system of things will end, but the world will never end completely because God is eternal, and he is not going to destroy his creation completely. So in the process, while we're trying to get ourselves right and one with the Father through theology, through education, then at the same time we have to make sure we're being righteous, we're being examples to the young so they can look up to us and they can say, wow, that's how I want to be, like we did when we were children. We didn't even have these many stations on TV. We had no internet, and a lot of us didn't even have cable. So only people we could look up to was the older people, the grandparents, the grandmas, the aunts, the uncles, and even the older male and females in the hood who the females were virtuous, and the males, they had a plan and a point, even if it was playing sports. At least they played sports and they tried to make good grades. Or if they didn't, they went to work every day. But now, we don't have any jobs available for us. So our children are going to be graduating. And our children are going to be graduating into a society that does not care anything about them, that does not have any jobs for them. Their education is going to be useless. And unfortunately, we have not, like I mentioned last night, we have not taken the commandment of our commander-in-chief, our divine warner and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have not taken that Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. We have not taken that and put that on the top of our priority. Because, we want to be independent. We throw our fists in the air when he mentions independence. But where is the action to actually doing and being independent? So at this point, I'm going to stop now. We're going to take a few questions from the audience after we have this prelude introduction from Sister Aziza, Queen Aziza Muhammad. She has a entertainer that she is going to promote tonight. And we're going to take a little interlude, and forgive me for my passion about our children, about the education and theology going hand in hand. And I may have been a little winded tonight, but trust me, I'm going to get everybody in, and I'm going to sit back, and I just want to listen, but I just want to share that information because I want everybody to put on their heart and understand how vital it is that we introduce our children to theology and the educational paradigm. Assalamu alaikum. The floor is yours, Sister Queen.
All right. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, well, our interlude song today is Hip Hop Savior by our Nation of Islam own Problem 13, who has a wonderful, wonderful manager, and it's me. So here's Problem 13 song, Hip Hop Savior.
His name is Wolverine, and he's very dangerous.
He is not.
Yes, he is.
Problem 13, I'm back on the warpath. No need for wondering what I come to bring. hear the track thundering as my words strike like lightning. I clear my throat, feel the track, grab the mic, it's frightening to every other rapper spitting pure garbage. I represent the truth, what my primary job is, to teach everyone about who Master Farad is. All fruits are ripe and it's time to reap the harvest. Who can rip the beat the hardest? It's really not a question, I'm guilty as charged. I'll sign the confession, so pass me the pen. My mouth's the gat, my tongue's the trigger, my words are the bullets, and I'm gonna blast to the end. Satan is the target and I'm aiming for his head, and every hypocrite government agent with the feds. You a traitor, and I would love to kill you, that's a fact. I don't give a damn, so go run, tell the cracker that.
It's problem 13, that's more. He might get up, savior, that's true. Listen, cause what am I saying, I didn't write to. Murder the devil, and the Almighty will fight you. It's problem 13, that's more. He might get up, savior, that's true. Listen, cause what am I saying, I didn't write to. Murder the devil, and the Almighty will fight you.
Ain't no debating this, I'm proud when I'm stating this. The devil's running tide, I'm bringing pain to the game. Spitting flames, burning, leaving no remains. Everything is burnt to ash from the fire that I set. When I rap and I step in the arena, from Iraq to Iran, from Mecca to Medina, to the Sudan, Afghanistan, Lebanon. The devil's wrong and P13 is a rebel, rebellious wrong. I ain't putting down my sword till the devil's dead and gone. I ain't riding the king and no, we all can't get along. Barack Obama working hard for the slave master's children. Martin Luther King had a dream, then them crackers killed them. Listen to me, man. Every word I said is clear. This is blood, sweat, and tears, and it's time to shed your fear. I'm about to take the devil's head and swing my sword. It's Armageddon, yo, dank auto-tune the chorus.
It's problem 13, that's more. He might get it up, savior, that's true. Listen, cause what am I saying?
Get down with Satan, then you're gonna have painful regret. P13 on the mic is an angel of death, and I'm attacking everything that God despises. Like David and Goliath, don't care what your size is. My sword is on my side, it's ready to cut, decapitate, and Satan leave his body dead in his blood. His head in the mud, God's wrath, let it erupt. Reject the truth, and you ended up dead in the flood. You love the devil cause he gives you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you. If you could give the name of that brother and the name of the song so we can look him up.
Oh, that's Problem 13 with Hip Hop Savior. That's one of his old cuts.
Okay. And, of course, you're the you're his manager. And at this time, without further ado,
yeah.
I would at this time, without further ado, I would like to introduce our great minister out of Tampa, Florida, who is was my first mentor into coming into the nation. And I love this man more than rubies and diamonds, because had it not been for him, I would have just heard the teachings and not have been cultivated by the knowledge and wisdom that he brings and his faithful help that he gives the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce all to Brother Student Minister James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Reginald, Queen Aziza. Yeah, I tuned in just in time enough for me to get my walk on, sis.
Yeah, he over there crip walking the Problem 13.
But all praise is due to Allah. But listen, I wanted to call in and to make sure that I added my voice to support and encouragement and congratulations to our brother and his debut host of this show, hosting of this show. Brother Reginald, I am so proud of you, dear brother, and you have grown tremendously. And your growth is continuous, brother. I'm so very proud of you. All praise is due to Allah. Thank Allah that he blessed me to be a part of your life, man. and your physical as well as your spiritual life. That's a great honor and privilege and blessing to me.
Our praises be to Allah, yes, sir.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to stay on, but I could not call in and not, you know, offer to you and to the listening audience again my encouragement and my support.
Okay.
Well, I thank you so much, Brother Stephen Mr. James, for your support. And if the will of Allah, I'll continue to grow and we'll continue to make this Sunday night show a success. And at
sir. Absolutely.
And at this time now, we're going to revert to a question and statement from the listening audience to be directed at the panel or me, but mostly towards the panel, because I've pretty much said enough so far. So thanks again, Brother Student Minister James, for coming on with the awesome words of wisdom and consolation. And right now, Sister Queen Aziza, you can go ahead and engineer your program.
But you're very welcome, dear brother. All praises due to Allah. Who else is on the panel, may I ask? Who else is on? I need to give them the greetings.
We have Brother Andre, Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad. We have Brother Kareem Muhammad. And we have beloved Sister Tura McGinn.
Well, let me give my love and greetings to my steadfast brothers, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Good to hear you, sir.
It's always wonderful to hear you and Student Minister Andre with your humble self. He's so humble, he's crazy. I ain't going to tell you why I said that, but all praise is due to Allah. He knows why I said that. Wonderful, brother, to hear your voice, Brother Andre. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Brother Andre, you still here?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Thank you for your greeting, dear brother, and I return them. Wa alaikum salam, and it's always good to hear your voice, dear brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah bless you tonight, all of you, with a wonderful show. As the Queen knows, I just picked up my wife from the airport. And
we do not want him to end up in divorce court, so you need to go take care of her.
All right, then. May Allah bless you all. I love you all. I'll talk with you soon, inshallah.
Love you more.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Okay, and Brother Reginald, we have a call on the phone from area code 234. I think that's somebody we know. Assalamu alaikum, area code 234. Your mic is live.
Wa alaikum for our family. All praise is due to Allah. This is Brother Albert Muhammad. I just wanted to touch base and let the believers and the family know that I'm well tuned in to the subject tonight. Very interesting. Very educational. So in my humbleness, I'm going to sit back and just sit and enjoy and allow myself to learn as the program go on. So I just wanted the brothers to know, the sisters to know that we're here. And thus far, I'm very excited in terms of what Brother Reginald has shared thus far on behalf of the educational system. Inshallah, as we go on, if Allah will and if you will allow me, I would like to share a view here and there. But at this point, I just wanted to touch base. Thank you so much, family. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you, Brother Albert. Okay. And we do have a question from the chat room, Brother Reginald.
Okay.
So I guess it's directed to anyone on the panel. Karen says, what is the process for homeschooling? Do you have to inform school districts that you are homeschooling?
Anybody on the panel can answer that one? If not, I'll answer. yielding to the panel on all questions.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the process as
okay,
far as...
Well, sister, beloved sister, thank you for that question. There are different rules to different states because each state has its own and county has its own guidelines as to pulling your child out of school. And this is a tactic that Satan
yeah.
uses so that you won't be able to teach your child the way that you want to teach him. Because at a certain point, I'm going to go over this, the reason why the school system was even set up. But what has to happen is you have to go to the, usually it's the public school district or the county building and fill out a form as to why you're taking your child out of school. Because it is against the law for you to and not get permission. Can you imagine that? They don't have any problem suspending your child or expelling them, but you do have to get permission in certain counties and certain states because the Department of Education watches the process of all of our children. And, in fact, they are responsible for issuing out the curriculum. So they are afraid for our children to be trained at home because, for one thing, for them to teach them at school and for them to take God completely out of school, they are stifling their spiritual growth. And if we teach them at home and we put theology in the process of education, which is mandatory, then we can educate our children better. So just even asking that question and inquiring that you may want to homeschool your child or children is excellent. And there are we will some kind of way have a curriculum for that that we can have for the members of the nation, the members of any other type of faith persuasion. We can develop a curriculum for all ages. I currently am working on a platform in which I will be tutoring all ages from toddler all the way up to the oldest adult, and I will be teaching on the subject of mathematics, reading and writing, and computer applications and programming. And I will be tutoring the children after school so that they'll have a place to go. So the answer, your local district, school district, and they will inform you of what you need to do to pull your child out of school. Assalamu alaikum. And thank you for the question.
Okay. And Brother Russell, I don't know if you've changed something, but you're sounding slightly muffled, so...
Oh, okay. How about now? Is it better now?
Yes. That's better.
Okay.
Right. We have a question from Zafir. He says, what do you suggest we do for our children now? The economic blueprint coming into fruition is far off. In the meantime, how do we add or debrief our children now?
I yield to the panel.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I'm going to weigh in on that because I remember as a child myself coming up in the Nation of Islam, and that was what my mother used to say to me every day when I came home from school, quote unquote, the public school. That was before she took me out of the school and homeschooled us. That was the first thing she would say when you come into the door, she would say, come on, it's time for your debriefing. And the way that she debriefed us, that's what all I can share is my experience, was she would ask us, what did you learn in school today? What were you taught in school today? And we would go over it and point for point. And the things that were true, right, and exact, there was no need for her to cover that. Anything that was not in line with the truth, with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with the teachings of the scriptures, then she would correct that. And that's basically what a debriefing is. You sit down with the individual, with the child, and you simply let them tell you what they have been given.
what they have been taught or what they have been indoctrinated with, and then you systematically go through and correct any falsehoods. You know, that's my experience in how you debrief the children. Also, the other thing is we also want to be preparing them before they go into the school and make sure they're armed with the truth, so that they can actually begin to decipher themselves. They don't necessarily have to address these issues in the classroom because of the type of repercussions there would be, but the child will know when they're being fed false information. And that's what I would share on that particular question. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. Wonderful answer. That's right on point. Got to debrief your children. Got to debrief your children. That is mandatory. Anybody else on the panel want to add to that?
Yeah, I would, Brother Reginald.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Queen.
You know, working with children in the juvenile system, you know, it's, and I know if you're talking about older children, or say, for instance, that you yourself are just coming into the knowledge, or you're just deciding that, you know, you're seeing the evidence that the educational system is not conducive for learning. A lot of us, you know, when we get our degrees and we get those letters behind our name, well, we figure school is out. School is over. But what I found that works best with some of my clients' parents is that they actually sit down and learn together, learn something new together. And that way it doesn't feel like a burden, like an additional chore that you have to do, but it's a family activity. It takes away, it takes time away from the television and all of that foolishness. It keeps them out of the street once you start to incorporate curriculum into your daily schedule, and it creates a closer family bond. So we cannot think that we're so educated that we cannot learn anything new. That's 50% of the problem, because a lot of times we want to set our children in front of the TV, set them in front of the computer, or tell them to study. We want to look them, you know, look at them and check in their rooms and see if they're studying. But how do you know? Just because they got a book in their hand? You know, that's the, one of the oldest tricks in the book. Sit down and dialogue. Spend that time communicating so that you will know what your child is studying, and you will know the comprehension level of your child. Instead of taking what they say at face value, they give your child this predetermined test and say that he has a learning disability. But how many times do you sit down and evaluate your child for yourself and go and challenge the schools and say, no, my child is not learning disabled. Maybe how you are instructing him is dysfunctional. So we have to be equipped ourselves to challenge a district that is clearly in opposition of educating our children. And that's all I want to add, Brother Reginald. Thank you.
Come on. Thank you for your input, Sister Queen Azizu. Beautiful. Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad, you have anything you would like to add, sir?
No, sir, not at this time. I mean, it's, that's not a topic that I'm too familiar with, so I'm just going to yield to that and be a student.
All praises be to Allah. Sister Yatour?
I feel like everyone pretty much covered it, but, I just think that the support, you know, from the family is so important. You know, again, with the debriefing process and just the, you know, showing the true interest and concern in our students' growth and development, and, you know, just really showing an interest in our children, I think is really vital. So that's all I wanted to add to that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sister Yatoura. And I just want to add a brief
bit to what was already said, and we can go ahead and put it in order. Debriefing, including yourself in your child's studies. Now, the third thing is, what if I'm not wise enough to help my child with the studies, or what if my child, because most of our children come home and say, I've already done my homework. Okay, beautiful. But we are living in the times now. I listened to the way President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama treat their daughters when it comes to education. They are not allowed to watch any more than 2 hours of television a day. The rest is spent in their books. They can't listen to nothing. They can't have their technology or anything. All of it is spent in their books. So that means that if your child is telling you, oh, I've already done my homework, I don't have nothing to do, first thing I would advise you to do, if you have technology or that child has technology in his house, take it away for at least 2 hours. And if they don't have any books to read, the best book to read for them is the Holy Quran or the Bible of some sort. Have them read chapters and verses, because that reading is introducing them to Islam, which is science and mathematics. So, you know, that's the best thing to do, to have them, because I'm speaking from experience. When I was a child, and my dad did not spare the rod by far. He grew up on the farm picking cotton and walking behind a mule, you know. So his discipline, they whooped him with whatever they whooped the cow or the mule with. And we grew up the same way. We got to whoop him with whatever he got his hands on. He had a whipping device called Willie the Mule. And I didn't like being tortured like that. So what I would do, I would wait on all my other two brothers to get a whooping, and I would try to make sure I'm last, but if I'm last, I have time to come up with a strategy. And my strategy was lock the door and open up the room window and leave the area, go to a friend's house deep in the neighborhood. Well, my mom would come looking around for me, crying and, you know, looking, and she finally found me maybe 2 or 3 hours later. So when I came into the house finally, of course, you would think, oh, no, his father really going to kill him now. My dad would hand me the Bible and tell me to go in the room and study and read. And because of that, I think that helped me with understanding, reading, and writing a little more. And in that way you're leaving it up to the creator of the universe to help plant a seed of learning in your child. And your child, like we all should do, they will pray before they take a test. They will pray before they go to school. They will pray before they are introduced to these false ideologies that are placed in the school system. So I think all three of those combined, out of those three, you definitely should do the first two. But if they come home and they don't have any books or anything and you don't have the expertise, give them the Word of God in some kind of form and make them read. Because remember, when Almighty God Allah presented the book to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the first thing he said was what? Read. Read in the name of your Lord. As-salamu alaykum, and thank you for the question.
Okay. And we have a question from area code 314. Area code 314, your mic is live.
You know, that was a good point that he made. I used to tell my children that they'd done their homework, their school homework, then they have my homework to do. Either way, they wasn't getting out of it.
That's
and
right.
It worked out very well. But, you know, the times that we live in, where we have this culture, and U.S. culture and itself that exists within certain ethnic groups, surely we can identify it in the black and African-American communities. It's the result of that circle being broken. When things began to fall apart, and now you see the ultimate ramifications of it. where you have children engaging. And, you know, it, a lot of it relies upon black society, because black society, past few generations as a whole, didn't leave their children with anything substantial, viable to build off of.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have anything to build the build off of, they don't have anything to do, then they're going to do as human beings will do, and they're going to do what they got to do to survive. And many times they get involved in quote-unquote illicit activities. And I see adults complaining of the music and things that children today listen to, just like they used to complain about the blues when I was a kid. So I don't think that is the problem. I think the problem is the fact that you don't control the education of your children. And we don't have enough Clara Muhammad schools around as well attended, where the children's education is taken care of. They're given the right direction, and then they're also given the right skills where they can do viable things. So, you know, you're absolutely right. The times that we live in today is similar times in the past, but, you know, when I came up, it was, you would have to look high and low to find a household that you didn't have a father and a mother in. And that makes a whole lot of difference. I often say, how can that young girl, when she married, know what to look for in a husband if she never seen it played out between a father and a mother?
That is correct.
So, you guys are right on time. You know, the Nation of Islam, I have to take my hat off to Elijah Muhammad, the things that he's done and what he created. I remember very well, and it's only a minuscule of what it used to be. Hopefully we can get back to that point, because it's very well needed. It's very well needed. So that's all I got to say.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Peon King. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you, too.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Okay. We have a question from Lanita. Okay. She said, how can we do every darn thing put in there? It is impossible. It is impossible as a single parent. Oh, Lord, somebody. Oh, okay. Go ahead, somebody.
You for the panel. Brother Peter Minister Andre Muhammad.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question correctly. What was the question there, Sister Aziza?
She said, how can we do every darn thing? It is impossible as a single parent.
Oh, okay. Well, my response to that, well, you know, we don't want somebody else teaching our children. You know, as first, we have to step up to the plate and, you know, be that example for them in order for them to look at us as role models. If we don't, then they're going to look at somebody else. We have to take the time. We have to make the time with our children in order for them to be able to respect us as parents. That's our responsibility first and foremost, is to make sure that they are cultivated and civilized in the correct way. The Bible teaches us to train a child in the way that he should go, and he will always keep that way when he becomes older. That's an instruction from God himself. So we have to take that time to raise and train the child according to what is necessary for it to be successful. It's universal and natural right. They have that right to be taught the proper way to be successful in life, and that comes from the parent first. And if you're a single parent, then that means that you have to make the time, whatever it may be. There are certain things that we can cut ourselves out from. Whatever it is that's taking the time necessary for us to train the child, then we have to avoid that and put it aside, you know, sacrifice. In our prayers every day, we say, my prayers, my sacrifice, my life and my death are all only for Allah. So if that's the case, if Allah is the center of everything that we in existence, which is the source of knowledge, he's the center of knowledge, he's the center of nature, he's the center of every aspect and affair that permeates our life. So
that's
if we
right.
put him first, then we actually have to make sure that everything else goes in the same direction. He has to be the center. So if we think that we are the center, then that's the problem. There's a problem when you think that, you know, everything is about you. We have to move out of the way and let God be the center. And when we do that, then everything else will fall into place. It also says in the scripture, it says to seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all everything else will fall in place. And I think I said this one time before, the first thing that comes to mind when we think about a kingdom is a man sitting in a gold chair with flowing robes and a crown. But no, that's not exactly what it means. That means that God is placing himself on the brain or mind of mind and woman, of man and woman, and filling it with the depths of his knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's what the
right.
kingdom of God is. So we have to be put that first. Then we put that first, and everything else will fall in place. And I think that, you know, that's my answer to that question. Thank you. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Beautiful. Sister Yatura?
Yes, can you repeat the question, Queen?
Yes, she says, how can we do every darn thing? It is impossible as a single parent.
How can we do every darn thing that's possible?
No, she was saying that how can we do everything, like as far as being a single parent, how can you be a single parent and, you know, homeschool your children or educate your children? I guess she's saying that it's just a hard task to
right.
add
to stay,
additional education.
To stay abreast with their child's educational growth and development. How is that possible if you're a sick mother and you are tied up to everything? That's kind of like the foundation of a question.
Right. Well, I'm not a single mother, so, you know, I can't really, you know, I can only give my opinion, but, you know, I can't really say how hard it is. But all I know is, you know, our children are our future. So the development spiritually, educationally, you know, of our children is so important that we can't make excuses. You know, we have to do whatever needs to be done to make sure that our children are getting set. So if we have to get up 2 hours early to prepare for the day or, you know, make necessary arrangements or, you know, get help from family to, you know, be here or, you know, whatever we need to do, you know, we have to be able to write down and look at what are our reasons or what kind of excuses are we making for I can't do this. Okay, well, why can't you do it? What alternatives do you have? You know, we have to basically, you know, we just have to get it done. I mean, the way I view it is, you know, we have children. They are our number one priority. So, you know, we can't bring children into this world and then just, you know, oh, well, I can't do anything for them right now. You know, that's unjust to the child. So, you know, this is just, you know, me speaking again, not as a single mother, but just knowing the importance. And, you know, my mother was a single mother, and she has five of us. So, I mean, we're all, I don't mean to toot none of our horns, but, I mean, we're pretty well educated. And I mean, you know, she took the time with, you know, each one of us. So, I mean, she worked jobs, you know, she paid bills, we ate, you know, she got things done. You know, I've said before on previous shows, I can't really remember seeing her around, but I know she was there. You know, I never was without, you know, I didn't feel like a, you know, poverty-struck child, but, you know, my mother got things done. So I know it's possible, and it may be hard, and the sacrifices that need to be made, you know, we may not want to do them or we may not always feel like doing them, but when it comes to our children, that's our future. There's no, you know, there's no excuse, and there's no, you know, we can't let anything get in our way of getting whatever needs to be done. That's just my humble opinion. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Salam, Krista. Brother Kareem.
And do you mind if I make a comment, Brother Reginald?
Yeah, so I was going to say you for last because I felt the passion
already. Oh, okay,
already. Go ahead. So I was going to let Brother Kareem chime in.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I want to say to my sister who posed the question, thank you for the question because it bespeaks to the frustration, I would think, of all of the single parents, particularly the single mothers, who are dealing with this and who are interested in our future. Thank you for the question, and the bottom line is you shouldn't have to do it all. You really shouldn't. However, that is the way the situation usually is. There was a phrase that was very, very popular during the 60s and the 70s, you know, and everybody was holding hands and singing Kumbaya, and, you know, we had overcome already. And but people would say this, not really understanding the wisdom of it, saying it takes a village to raise a child. And that is absolutely the truth. So as Student Minister Andre stated, as my sister Yatira stated, yeah, we got to do whatever's necessary, regardless of how hard the struggle is on our end to do this. However, also some of that responsibility falls to us, particularly the men. I would say FOI, but it's not just FOI, those who call themselves FOI. That responsibility falls to the men. It falls to everyone who is a part of that child's life to be responsible for helping to develop that child to the nth degree, to the ultimate level of their potential. And I would say in those areas that you can't do anything in, seek the help. But also all of us who are on this broadcast, we should also be there for those single parents who are going through that. And again, I can't stress enough, particularly the brothers, be there. If this sister is there with her child or her children and there is no man present in the home, then we need to take up that slack. I look at every child out there as my niece or nephew, and I'm there for them to help mentor them, to be available for them at any given time. So my response to it would be that we have all got to pull together to make sure that that type of burden isn't on the single parents. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, sir. Beautiful. Okay, last but not least, and after you go, I just want to add a small snidget of Sister Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. Where do I start? My father's father, is from a place called Kazimir. On the map, it is called Kazirani in Kenya. And in that village, still today, as primitive as it may seem, the elders are the only ones allowed to educate the children. And an elder in the village is a person who is 70 plus years of age. And when these babies begin to verbalize, and I think it's the age of 2 now, they are handed over to the elders for a significant period of time, just like a school day. And the elders actually teach them, not only teach them academically, but teach them etiquette and teach them manners and things of that nature that they need to grow, because they believe in the young people using their physical abilities to build and work. But what keeps the elders driven are, or what keeps them determined to live, is that they have this duty and this responsibility to the babies in the village. And when you look at us here in America, we throw our old people away.
That's right.
We throw tons and tons of wisdom, tons and tons of experience, tons and tons of knowledge that you're not going to find in any book. We throw it away because we don't want to take the time. But if you remember, in the United States, what they used to call Big Mama days. Well, when Big Mama was around, you know, the children had discipline. The children made good grades in school because it was not negotiable. And so when you are a single parent, yes, you are a single parent, but you are not alone. But do not lock your resources away from you. You might not have a grandmother, or your mother might not be alive, but I promise you, I'm sure there's some lady, you know, in her 60s or 70s that wouldn't mind sharing a couple of hours or 3 hours or whatever with your children just to educate them on basic principles. And when she does that, that respect that she commands creates a discipline in your children. And then that discipline will feed the appetite for them to become educated. So I know that, you know, there are a lot of single mothers. But let me just say, I'm going to say this too, and if I step on any toes, then so be it. See, a lot of times what happens is that, you know, the black woman's motto, we do what we have to do. But a lot of times we minimize what we do because of our bitterness with that absent father. But let me tell you something. It would be so much different if the father had died rather than him be absent. Then there will be more understanding of why I'm single or why the child's father is not in his or her life. Because we are often emotional, and I'm not saying this to all parents, and I'm not bad-mouthing single parents, because for a few years I was a single parent. So I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what nobody told me. A lot of times how we feel has a lot to do with how we respond. But you remember that your children are yours. Your children are the evidence that you ever even existed. So you treat them as the valuable gems that they are, and you let nothing restrict you from accessing any means necessary for you to offer the best that you can to your children. It's easy to dress your children up in Jordans and let them have the newest fashion statement on, but when you deprive them of knowledge, you put them in their own graves. So please reach out to the elders in your community. Let's give life to our elders. That's what keeps them motivated. That's what keeps them among us. And utilize that wealth and that wisdom that no dollar could buy, and no degree will ever ascertain what they have for us. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Brother Richard.
Thank you, Sister Queen. That was a beautiful response as well. And, of course, everybody on the panel chimed in on that. And I hope that they're chiming in, their answers to the question that was proposed did help you. And don't take anything any wrong way, because it's all constructive to your question. It was all constructive. Now, I just want to add one little bit, and
and it basically is around what everybody else did. It's all about time management. I mean, you if you're going to work and you know you have a lunch break, you know what time you got to be there, you know what time you get off, you have created a form of time management. And that's all you have to do is make a journal or a goal to put that inside your daily schedule. I'm sure you're probably wore out and everything, but like they say, the children are our future, you know, so it's about time management. And the one reason to really, you know, help the mothers who feel like that, that's why I felt the need to start a tutorial online website where I am going to be, once again, I'm going to be offering tutorial classes for the students after class, a certain time for the elementary students when they get home, a certain time for the junior high school students, a certain time for the high school students, and a certain time for the adults that want to continue or learn as well. And I'm going to be using a format that I use to have success in the school system. So it's going to be I'm going to be putting it out soon, and you can just hit me in the inbox if you're having problems. Anybody that's having problems with their child in their coursework, and you don't have anybody to tutor them and you're having problems, I dedicate my time to that. I don't charge anything. The only thing I ask, if you make a donation, that donation is going straight to the economic blueprint to end poverty and want, because we must, it's imperative that we start teaching our own children in the way that Sister Clara Muhammad started the University of Islam. It's just imperative. I mean, we really don't have a choice at this point. So if anybody just go to my Facebook page and say your son is having problems, your daughter having problems, they need a little tutor on that. I even have a child. I can force them. I can have their peers help them, you know, where it can really be fun. Because just like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, don't read your child those silly bedtime stories. Read your child these bedtime stories. That's another form of education, but it's theology in education. So, yeah, basically it's just time management. And like I say, if you need any help, anybody in the listening audience or know of anybody, single or married, to have children that need help, I will definitely take my time, because I understand that I must invest in the future of our children, in my children in particular, but definitely the children and the whole of humanity. So just hit me in my inbox, Reginald Laron X. Wynn, and just hit me in my inbox, and I'll be sure to get right back to you and let you know what time is a great time, and we can either set up a Skype, a Uvu chat, or a conference call where we can go ahead and make sure that we don't have any excuse for our children not being able to expand beyond their imagination. Because when God created himself from nothing out of triple darkness, he destroyed the realm of impossibility. As-salamu alaykum. Okay, Sister Queen, ready for the next question if you have one?
Yes, Denise want to know the major subjects that they can teach at home.
Thank you for the question, sister. There is no limit to what you can teach at home, but my advice to you, the foundational courses that I would teach would be reading, writing, mathematics, computer application, and science. Those four subjects all involve the key essentials that will help them. If you don't want to homeschool your child or pull them out of the school system, they will topple the Caucasian students, because that's where we lack. We don't like to touch those subjects. We would rather do, you know, the electives versus taking on those subjects. But if you look at the Chinese children, if you look at the children that come out of the school, the University of Islam. If you look at them, by the time they're getting ready to go to first grade, they are so far advanced from what their peers know that it's like a night and day. Because your child can his earliest phase of attaining knowledge, it really starts from birth all the way up to 6 years old. So don't wait till kindergarten for your child to first learn his letters, to learn how to write his letters and learn how to speak a great pronunciation of the English language, because we are taught that we must master the English language. That makes us a better teacher. That makes us a better savior. That makes us a better magnet to our people who are lost, and definitely to our children who are speaking a different language than what we're speaking. So just like Brother Kareem showed last week, right up to the modern time, we got to modernize people. We got to modernize. Thank you, and thank you for the question, and I hope I answered. If I can make clarification, or anybody on the line could add to that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Any more questions, Sister Queen Aziza?
No, not at this time, but we have about 9 or 10 more minutes before the show ends. So if anyone has a question, press 1 on your dial pad and or type it into any of the chat rooms. But, nope, that was it, Brother Reginald.
Okay, well, what I want to do in the meantime, I'm going to try to just give you the shell of the reason why they even came up with the public school system in the first place, because if you find this out, everybody should have in their mind to pull your child out of the public school system and send them to a school system, either of homeschooling, or we're going to have to get together and pool our resources and start coming up with our own schools. I mean, it's just imminent. I mean, we have no choice, because school is on a whole different ball game right now. And the first schools in America were designed to contain and restrain members of a society whose global elite, which is the system of white supremacy. The schoolhouse is the number one target market for oppression. And when you're dealing with the school market, there are three things that the reason that the schools were even introduced in the first place. And this is called colonialism. And the number three thing, the third thing, I'm going to go 3, 2, and 1, which I feel is the most absurd thing and reason why they set up the school system, was to make sure that their military, their war machine, was educated. They didn't want to have a bunch of commanders, a bunch of people in the field not having any form of education, not knowing how to operate these weapons, not knowing the minor science of the art of war that they know. And so they set up these institutions based on military training first. The second reason they set up these institutions was because they wanted to establish church inside of the educational process. But what they wanted to do first is they wanted to spiritually enslave you. And we all know that as black people, when we got to this country in 1555, for 300 years, we were not allowed to read a book, let alone the Bible. And if we were caught reading within those 300 years and in times after that, we would either be lynched, tortured, or killed. So they taught us, once they finally let us read, a few of us who were a little more educated slaves than the other ones, finally let them read these Bibles and the King James Version, and they taught them what they could and what they could not teach. So, you know, they limited our spiritual capacity. First, they stripped us of our names. We were Muslims when we came here. And if anybody watched Roots, which they did put that series on about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the reason why Toby was beat down so bad was because he didn't want to give up his name Kunta Kunte, which is his Muslim name. And he would try to keep his Muslim name because he would rather be dead than to trade in his faith and his love for the one God. Okay, so the first thing they try to do with you when it comes to setting up a church, which was their goal, was to enslave you spiritually, and spiritual slavery always comes before mental slavery. So that is the second thing. Now, the third and the most important thing, is the reason they set it up, is the control of the school, the educational institution, the original or ancient system of education, which the original and the ancient system that our forefathers used was simply to teach us or teach the society or teach students how to think freely. Today it is teaching people what to think and not how. So let me repeat that. The school system today is not allowing our children, or us for that matter, to be free thinkers, to be critical thinkers. So they are teaching them what to think, not how to think. And corporations run the school system. There are educational foundations, educational thinking, and the educational agenda. Getting a school book approved is more difficult than getting elected to a public office. It must be seen by the teachers union, the elected officials, some religious people in the community, and approved by the Board of Education and sanctioned by the state. So even if you want to homeschool your child, that's why you have to get a form or a request from the district, school district, because they have a certain curriculum and they use specific books, specific tools that they use to keep us mentally, spiritually, and educationally enslaved, so that it must be seen by it, so that we can be always slaves of their system. Take, for instance, the teaching of true history. If we taught our babies our true history, not just our dark history, but they got to know both sides. But if we teach our children a true history with true images, not false images, if we teach our children with these true images and teach them a true history, do you know how elevated their spirituality would be, how much love they would have for God to know that their people were rulers of kingdoms, that the women were goddesses and queens, and the men were gods? Just that feeling alone. I grew up in the South. We knew nothing about black history. Only thing we knew about was Martin Luther King. That was it. After that, I didn't know nothing about Malcolm X, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Sister Clara Muhammad, the Nation of Islam. They didn't teach that in our school system, but when they did put roots on, that was the only time we learned history, and that's mockery, because they will teach us the dark side of our history, and that is to make sure the roots was put on to say, okay, Negroes, quote unquote, if you get it twisted, this is how it was in the past, this is how it's going to be now, and this is what has come back to us. Now, that's why they can go ahead and give us an Emmy or a Golden Globe for a movie like 12 Years of Slavery, or, you know, Hype Up, Django Unchained, or, you know, The Butler, you know, or Denzel Washington getting an Oscar for Training Day. It's always something negative, and that's subliminal. That's subliminal for us, and a lot of us get all happy, but we shouldn't be happy about those strides. We should look deeply into it, and all that they're trying to tell us is what was is going to be. And we know that's happening right today, because they're doing some horrible things to our people in the streets, especially in the police force that we think are here to protect us. The number one problem with blacks in educating America is we do not control it. Educating your enemy is oxymoronic, which means for them to educate us properly, that would be totally against the grain of their purpose of even having us a part of their society. We are supposed to be the stew pigeons. We're supposed to be the beggars. We're supposed to be, you know, the last. We're not supposed to be the head. We're supposed to be the bottom rail. Willie Lynch set up a process that would last, and they want to make sure that Willie Lynch syndrome never dies out. So that is another reason why we must educate our children and ourselves. Even if you can't pull them out of the school system, like Brother Kareem said, it is mandatory that you debrief your child when they come. So when they get told Christopher Columbus discovered America, you say no. And the sister that I'm quoting, when she was told her daughter was in the class with the teacher, when the teacher tried to give us that myth about the dinosaur, and she argued with the teacher because she knew the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So she was able to stand her ground and not have falsehood put into her head. And the most sensitive time, once again, in a child's development is from birth to age, not six, I'm sorry, but eight, seven, which 99% of the time is controlled by the enemy through TV. You know, all these little cartoons that our children sit in front of and watch all day, but you don't even understand what's going on with TV, because between every eight clip of a movie or a program or a cartoon, there's a subliminal message in it that goes into the psyche of the individual watching it. That's why you can be inside of a movie, a theater, or a cinema, and all of a sudden popcorn comes on the screen. You ain't even thinking about eating because the popcorn is too expensive anyway, and you just want to come watch the movie. But all of a sudden, the urge comes to have popcorn, then Coke, then a piece of candy. See, all of that is a subliminal message, which is for another show. But I just want to show you how the TV affects our children's sublime. So we have to be careful in sitting them in front of the television all day. We have to. And as adults, we should be careful of what we watch and sit in front of the television all day, because you're being programmed and you don't even know it, that every eighth clip you are not allowed, even if you make a movie, if you make a whatever, that the government will not allow you to put anything in that eighth clip, because that's what they use to control your sublime. Now, recap. It was made to teach children how to want them to think, which is to socialize the population or social engineering. The educational system grew out of a need for a better low-wage earner, because as blacks, we came over here and we were the ones who industrialized this nation. So they want to at least have us a little smart going into these factories when we built this country with none of their knowledge. We built the White House. We built all sorts of things. Blacks were used to create an industrialized workforce, working for the lowest and producing things that white people could not ever produce. 85% of all inventions from the middle of the 19th century came from black people. And that's just a little history of the colonialism as to why the public school system was set up. And I put that out there, and I want to put that out there so we can be thinking and we can twist our minds and understand that it is not a want that we must train our children in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. But it is a need that we must train our children theologically and educationally so that they will be the future producers, and the future leaders, the future doctors, the future lawyers, because we talk about all this independency, and yet we have to go to somebody else to treat our illnesses. We have to go to somebody else to feed us. That's not going to be a part of independency. That's still a part of dependency. So once again, I want to throw this quick plug out there before I send it over to you, Queen Sister Aziza. I want to put this plug out there, and I want everybody to please go to the economicblueprint.org. It's a means of getting us out of depending on somebody else to suffice our needs. Almighty God, Allah, the Most High, the Sovereign of the Universe, Jehovah Jah, whatever you want to call him, he is definitely sufficient. But he helped those who help themselves. Thank you for listening to that. And I'm going to turn it over to you now, Sister Queen Aziza, or if any of the brothers want to make a concluding comment, and Sister Yatua, if you want to make a concluding comment, please feel free. And I thank you all once again for coming on and sharing this debut experience with me. You made it much easier for me to get through this show. I thank you. I love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Walaikum Salaam. Are there any closing comments, Brother Kareem, through the Minister Andre, Sophia Tara?
I simply would say, go ahead, bro.
No. Go ahead, brother. I'll yield to you. Go ahead.
Well, no, I simply wanted to say that thank you again, Brother Reginald, for inviting me on to be a part of this dialogue. I pray to Allah that we will continue to grow from this dialogue because it is vital. It's necessary. I want to thank everybody who's on here with me for everything that you did share because I've taken away some new information, some knowledge that will help me to be more effective in promoting this activity. So that was it. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, sir.
Walaykum as-salam, sir.
Walaykum
as-salam. Yes, sir. I would just like to say that, you know, basically the same thing that Brother Kareem said is that I've learned significant amount that I may use in my, you know, my process along with myself and as well as my children to hopefully stem, you know, some kind of attitude within them and myself to want to learn more and change the educational paradigm that we have been put into. So thank you for allowing me to be on this panel, and I hope we continue, as the brother said, because it's definitely vital for all of us as a people that we understand what the education system has done to us and what it's still doing to us and how we need to go about to change that process. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes, sir. Okay, Sister Queen, Yatira. Is she still with us? Yes, she's still on. Sister Yatira? Okay, maybe she's on mute. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close out. Let me make the announcement. Before we give the show lineup, I just want everybody to know that we are still trying to help Brother Jihad and his family. So please donate $5. That's all we're asking, not any more than that. $5 to help Brother Jihad's family. For those of you who know, Brother Jihad suffered a major brain aneurysm the early part of January, and he is still in critical condition, but he is getting very, very, very much better than what he was before. He is sitting up. He is talking. I actually got a chance to speak with him today. He didn't have the opportunity to respond, but he can comprehend and hear what I'm saying. He's getting ready to go into physical rehab, so he's doing remarkably well and certainly much greater than the prognosis that we initially got. So we're going to do that a show especially for him from everybody so that he can hear, you know, everybody's prayers, everyone's well wishes, and we're also going to be raising money for him on Tuesday night. But in the event that you don't get a chance to listen to the show, please send $5 to his wife, Belinda 6858@yahoo.com. And she spells it Belinda 6858@yahoo.com. And so we know it's a critical time. It's Savior's Day. You got bills to pay. We understand that. But $5 is not going to make us or break us. So please just show your generosity to our dear brother and help and come and join us and help us pray for his recovery. Okay, so tomorrow night we'll be right back here at 8 p.m. with Brother Kareem. And Brother Kareem, your subject is on the battle in the sky. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to make sure. Okay. And on Tuesday, 8 p.m. Central, join us here again. Like I said, we're going to be doing prayers and fundraiser for Brother Jihad. and then we're going to resume his pre-recorded broadcast in the future. And then on Wednesday, of course, join us at 7 p.m. for DJ Black Sheba and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, I'll be back here for our final series, the final part of our series, Making a Happy Family, with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad out of College Park, Georgia. And on Friday, 8 p.m. Central, Student Minister James Muhammad will be here with our live study group and part 56 of the Time and What Must Be Done. And on Saturday, we'll be right back here with Young, Gifted, and Black, and Sister Yatira is not here, so I don't know what the plan is, but we'll have something on. And, of course, next Sunday we'll be right back here at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Reginald. And so, Brother Reginald, can we get a sneak peek at the topic, or we need to wait?
No, actually, it's going to be the part two of the educational paradigm using Study Guide 21. Tonight I just want to give the shell around it, but next week we will dwell deeply into the theology portion of the educational program paradigm, Study Guide 21, because I just want to magnify the educational part tonight, but the theology part that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us in Study Guide 21, we're going to dwell deep into the spirituality and the things that he has informed and instructed us to do that will help us when we do start to try to master these foundational subjects and start schooling and what to teach our children. So that's what we'll be doing. We'll the same subject, just part two.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it from him yourself. So join us right back here next week for part two of Theology and the Educational Paradigm for the 21st Century. Thank you all for listening. Good job, Brother Reginald, first time at the gate. All praises due to Allah. I personally, again, want to welcome you to the Nation Builder family. And we leave you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.